This is CliffCentral.com.
Making headlines this week in Zimbabwe. Sunday the 13th of May was Mother's Day, with people across the world celebrating their mothers, their sisters, and all the mothers out there. So from the Gilmore T vibe, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers across the globe. According to the Chronicle newspaper, the government of Zimbabwe dispelled rumors that there is a fuel shortage in the country, saying there is no need for motorists to hoard the commodity. In a statement, Energy and Power Development Minister Simon Kaya Moyo said the situation is under control, hence there is no need for panic buying. He said the Zimbabwe Energy Regulatory will continue to monitor the market to ensure compliance to regulated prices by all companies. The minister went on to say that fuel prices have been affected by demand, which rose by 22% for petrol and 8% for diesel compared to last year. The movement in global crude oil prices has also necessitated the increase in fuel prices.
The Health and Childcare Ministry has rolled out a human papilloma virus HPV vaccination program targeting 800,000 girls aged between 9 and 14 years as the government scales up efforts to curb the spread of cervical cancer. Speaking at the HPV media briefing in Harare, Health and Childcare Minister David Paririnyatwa said they were targeting young girls as they are at a limited risk of contracting the sexually transmitted virus. He went on to say the incidence of cervical cancer in Zimbabwe is reported to be 35 per 100,000 women as compared to the global average of 15.1. Annually, there are 2,270 new cases reported with 1,451 associated deaths in Zimbabwe, with 99% of cervical cancers associated with HPV infection, and about 7 in every 10 women will have HPV at some point in their lifetime, hence the need to nip it in the bud, he said. According to the Newsday, the vaccinations will be carried out in schools and health facilities across the country.
In a report by the Chronicle, Vice President Dr. Constantine Chiwenga officiated the launch of the Community-Based Tourism Handbook under the Ministry of Tourism and Hospital Industry in Masvingo. The launch of the handbook, which is part of the National Tourism Master Plan, also included a tour of the Kamungoma Liberation Site and Travelers Trail in Masvingo. Zimbabwe Tourism Authority spokesman Godfrey Korti said the launch is meant to promote human tourism and attract more local and foreign visitors to local resort destination. According to the Newsday, Harare West constituents have vowed to back Jessie Majome after she withdrew from the MDC primary elections, insisting that she was not throwing her hat into the ring as an independent candidate. Majome has since received pledges from her constituents, who have also said that they were prepared to fund her war chest as she faces MDC and ZANU-PF candidates in the crucial general elections up in a few months. Political commentator and Harare West constituent Rashwit Mukundu is one of the key people backing Majome, declaring on his Facebook page that she has his vote. I am convinced we, Harare Westerners, have the capacity, both intellectual and resources, to retain Jesse Majome as our MP, he said. Honest Rodzi, another constituent, vowed to follow Majome regardless of her party choice in a move that could see MDC lose the seat. My name is Ms. Noma, and these are the headlines this week in Zimbabwe.
Thank you, Ms. Noma, for the update. So here is what we have in store for you this week on the Gilmore T Vibe here on Clips.
Begezela ngilinde ntombi ya ngilinde ngiyabuya daliwa Begezela ngilinde ntombi ya ngilinde ngiyabuya daliwa Jehova malanga kuphi pelu nyaka ngiboni standwa sami standwa sami nago tina kudala standwa sami ngiyago kumbula shova malanga kupelu nyaka ngiboni standwa sami standwa sami nago tina kudala standwa sami ngiyago kumbula bege zela ngilinde ntombi ya Gilinde, yabuya daliwa, begezela. Gilinde ntombiya, gilinde, yabuya daliwa. Jova malanga kupelu nyaka, ngiboni standwa sami. Standwa sami ngakugcina kudala, standwa sami ngiyakukhumbula. Shova malanga kuphela unyaka ngiboni standwa sami ngakugcina kudala standwa sami ngiyakukhumbula umunge khola eduze na isikhathi ngathi sihambi
Right, welcome to the Gilmore Tea Vibe here on Cliff Central. So it's such an exciting time in Zimbabwe because we're going towards elections and a lot of young people are sort of like trying to engage in politics and some of them have even registered so that they can vote. We are not yet sure when the elections are actually going to happen. Possibly they're in July or somewhere there, but hey, we'll just wait and see. So the name is Gilmore Tea, the global citizen, and it's extremely, extremely a happy Friday and we are very excited to have you join us every Friday at 1 p.m. here on cliffcentral.com. So remember the hashtag is GTEE5 and this is where you can get a hold of us on all social media platforms and we can have an exchange and chit chat. So yeah, let's talk Zim. And joining me in studio is one of the most outstanding individuals in Bulawayo and in Zimbabwe. He's been doing an incredible job in terms of entrepreneurship, in terms of involvement with the society, in terms of also just policy making things. His name is Nkosana George Mazivisa, and he describes himself as a social entrepreneur who's strongly linked to his society and also a young politician. I don't know if I introduced you well.
You did well.
But how would you reintroduce yourself?
I'll introduce myself as a simple man and ordinary young man from the streets of Lawayo. Extraordinary dream is of creating smart cities through total involvement, total member involvement of the society.
All right.
One of our biggest challenges that we face every day is a gap between leaders and the community.
Yeah.
So a social entrepreneur is somebody who addresses social ills of the community through collective ownership from bottom-up approach. In that regard, we are highly likely to succeed as we have total involvement. So I'm a social entrepreneur who's also deeply involved in the issues of the community.
Yeah.
Because some of them require political muscle, some of them require political intelligence and political maneuvers.
You sound like a politician right now.
Yes.
Oh, you are a politician, so you have to sound like that.
That's right, human beings are politicians.
Okay, okay.
That's when you were breastfed, you had to choose between another breast.
Okay.
We get it. All right. So.
But how have you, as a young politician, as a social entrepreneur, just briefly tell me how you have bridge the gap, like some of the activities that you are doing or you have done to build the gap between the people and your works?
One of the key things that we have done is we have identified key pilot projects where we come in. For example, I sit in a council called Community-Based Planning. Community-Based Planning, it's made up of representatives of all forms of age groups.
All right.
Where we sit there, we discuss the next 5-year plans for the community. So the seat of flower is what you call the retention fund. The retention fund for my work is was last ending at $21,000.
All right.
So when we have $21,000 as a retention fund of the 3% money that we pay to the council in terms of monthly bills and ABC, we looked at that point of view and said, what is it that we can do using that retention fund to solve issues within the community?
Yeah,
when we
sit
down collectively as a community, we agree, because if you cut off the community and you do things on your own, it becomes them versus us. So that project on its own won't have what you call a collective ownership. That's one of our key pilot projects. Secondly, one of the issues that we deal with, we are highly touched by climate change.
All right.
Like you have seen in the past 2 years in Bulawayo, we have had what you call heat waves.
Yes, yes. It's been crazy. Yeah?
It's been crazy, and El Nino, like you say. For example, in 1980, Lupane recorded 37 degrees.
Mm.
Last year, it recorded 42, which is an increase.
Yeah, that's an increase.
Which is an increase. So what do? We need to sit down with my team. One of the person that I work with closely is Dr. Anna Kesson.
Mm.
We identified Lawais as 188 schools. Of 188 schools, we divided them into 5 districts.
Mm-hmm.
Where we talk about climate change in the new curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
How best can we implement, come up with issues, come up with solutions, tailor-made, within the region, because we're a drought-prone region. So when you come up with such programs, you don't only take head of schools. If you take head of schools, those are employees. But when you take representatives of parents, representatives of community leaders,
you
put them together in one room, you put in stakeholders.
Nice.
That way, they share ideas, they share the vision, the ideals that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to say that that program went well, exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
We have managed to go into individual schools to implement it. So as such an entrepreneur, the more you identify with the people, the more it is easier to realize which issues to attend to adjust to, and which solutions to come.
Exactly. And the needs of the people also. And at the same time, you make money from catering for the needs.
You see, there's a book that we grew up reading called For the Laws of Power by Herbert Green. It says, don't create a fortress for yourself. Because once you create a fortress for yourself, you have alienated yourself from the people.
Yeah.
And you don't know where the next meal will come from.
Mm.
Why am I saying that? The issue is with politicians. The politicians, they come during votes.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 years away.
Well, that's very typical in Zimbabwe at the moment.
Stay away from the people for the next coming 5 years, alienated in leafy setups. Then they think the same problem that they did 5 years ago are still relevant.
Exactly.
The needs evolve. Like, based on the Maslow hierarchy of needs, they evolve. In the 21st century, my needs are different from that one of the 1960s.
We're crying for free Wi-Fi now. We're crying for data, affordable data for us.
Affordable data. Actually, when I talk
about... It's a basic need, I think.
It's not a basic need. Back then, in the early 90s, early 2000s, it was a luxury. But for our generation, the millennials, no longer a luxury, it's a need.
Yeah,
so need what that. You do, check for example, if you go to Transstate, in Joburg, and living in Rwanda, say that, you know what, every city has to have free Wi-Fi.
Yes.
So it's not we need.
So it means then as Zimbabwe, we need to start actually moving towards that direction of having free Wi-Fi as in Harare and Bulawayo and Gweru and all these places.
Actually, we have one of the highest mobile penetrations in the continent. So we need to translate that. Having high mobile penetration does not translate to affordable internet. This is where the problem is. We need to have affordable internet. When you have affordable internet, we're not saying overnight it has to be free, because someone has to pay for it. So how then do we translate that? That's when we come in as politicians.
All right.
To work on policies.
Mm-hmm.
Which policies can support ICT? Which policies can then support innovation that are internet-centered? Which policies can work on apps that can reduce poverty? Remember, entrepreneurship in Africa is not about money first. Entrepreneurship in Africa is also based on our values of Ubuntu.
Yes, and we can't deny that. We can't just dump that and then we start doing other things.
We can't deal with
it. Yeah.
So it means entrepreneurship, we have to deal with poverty.
Yeah.
And poverty means we have to deal with the community at large.
Mm-hmm.
So when we politicians, unfortunately, we have activists who then call themselves politicians, they are more of pressure groups. Then we have people naturally who are politicians who know how to speak issues, articulate well issues, and using proper procedures and ways to tackle those issues. And that is the breed that we belong to.
All right.
The breed that says it's not always about opposing. It's about having a discussion with relevant stakeholders through all forms and means, and find the consensus. Remember, those that are in power, the ruling party and PF, even those that are in opposition, some along lines with a common ground. We all want what's best for Zimbabwe. That's the question is how.
Hopefully, I mean, not everyone wants what's best for Zimbabwe. But before I go to my next question, I want to just touch a little bit on social entrepreneurship. What's the state of social entrepreneurship in Zimbabwe? Do you feel like all these people that are calling themselves social entrepreneurs catering for the society that is the social part of it? Do you feel that's happening?
That's not happening. The problem that we have is entrepreneurship is entrepreneurship or entrepreneurs become a buzzword. Everyone thinks they are called for it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, not everyone is born an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. It's a calling. It's a special thing. It's a risky thing. One has to understand the risk reward ratio.
Yes.
That's why most of the people after first, second year entrepreneurship, they move, they look for a job, they go for a job.
Because
they thought that it was a trending thing.
That reminds me of our fellow Africans that stay in the US and the UK. They come to, after 10 years of spending time in the USA, they come down, they're like, oh, I'm moving back to Zimbabwe, I'm moving back to South Africa. And then after 2 days, they are frustrated, they go back. Because they think it's cool to move back and adjust into this place, but it's not like that.
They think, many of our people, they think that Africa has to leapfrog. We don't leapfrog. We who are entrepreneurs every day, living amongst people, We form the substance.
Mm-hmm.
We make the substance. Mm-hmm. We push the substance.
Yeah.
Unlike someone who just walks in. Entrepreneurship is like just jumping into an ocean full of sharks. As opposed to saying, you're going to be chasing sharks.
Yeah.
Today I'm not going to eat me, I'm going to provide you ABC. I'm going to be vegetarians. It sounds silly and stupid, but that is the issue at hand with entrepreneurship, because you don't know what the future looks like,
yes.
But you shape it yourself.
You need to shape it, yeah.
And when you shape it, you're shaping it using the available tools, which in many cases is not there.
So you have to find them or create them yourself.
Find them and create them. That's why we say social entrepreneurship, when you live amongst the people, that's when you have the most innovative ideas, you discover their needs, and you find sometimes it's a matter of putting into the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For example, the school, I attend our primary school.
Yeah.
I was a former student there.
You were a former student in the primary school? You're now the chair now.
Now I'm the chair.
Ah, incredible.
So I did it for 7 years. When I came back, I said to myself, you know what? My first port of call, if ever I was to make an impact in the world, let me start where I came from.
Exactly. So maybe that's where we lose it, because I feel like we, in the process, we want to neglect the spaces that we grew up in, and we want to make an influence outside, but you need to influence your people first, because those will help you carry like whatever that you're working on to the rest of the world.
Yes. Actually, we Africans, especially those that have made it, we feel ashamed to identify the spaces where we come from.
That's it. But you say, what do you say? Challenge begins at home.
Challenge begins at home. Our challenge is we want to be identified with the top opulent classes now, that because we've made it, we come back to our communities once a weekend to show off.
Yeah.
This model idol of worship, which is very wrong. But we need, like Vusi Tembuwai often says, I listen to Vusi a lot. He says we need to embrace where we come from,
exactly.
Our past.
Mm.
Not that it should be nostalgia, but it should be our propelling force.
Mm-hmm.
Something that tells us, that reminds us where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Package it, work around it, improve society, so that whenever we move up the ladder, we move with other people.
Exactly. Yes.
So this is what social entrepreneurship is all about.
All right.
Remember, the government cannot address all the social ills of the society.
Mm.
We are the government.
That's what I always say to people, that sometimes we cry foul and say, no, the government is this, but we are the government and we are the ones that are supposed to be involved in things that have to do with us. So if you're listening to the Gilmore C Vibe on Clip Central, please get a hold of us on our social media platforms. The hashtag is GTEEVibe. Let me know what you think about this conversation, and let me know what questions you have for Nkosana. Possibly he's going to be online responding to these questions also, but it'll be great to hear from you. Please don't you go anywhere. We'll be back soon after this. Welcome back. You're still tuning to the Game on TV here on Clip Central, and the website is www.clipcentral.com. But otherwise, if you do have an Android or an iPhone or a smartphone, you can download the application on your phone, and it's Clip Central, and you can listen to the show every Friday at 1 p.m. for everything that has to do with Zimbabwe. So we're talking about entrepreneurship before we went, and I want to just move it quickly to policy making. You are like an aspiring, or you are campaigning to be a counselor for your ward. What motivated you to being involved in such a space?
Such a space. Most people tend to think that being an MP is the best thing. You will be nearer to central government, to government.
Yeah.
Believe me, service delivery starts through councils, through city budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you find New York is one of the biggest budgets in the world, bigger than other countries at large, but it should be local. So what made me think that is, I grew up in 114, I was in school then. So it helps me every day to see the state of degeneration.
And
also moving to the city at large. Lahore used to be one of the cleanest cities in the world.
Yeah.
So we need to maintain that. And unfortunately, again, the first group of leaders in the city were the Prakadas. Some of them are in their late 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
So we need a new mindset, a new shift. So when you talk of Lahore as an IHAB, like we talked about affordable for internet, it's only our generation who understands that. Not the old generation.
So is this why you thought it was ideal for you to stand in?
Yes, to stand in.
Okay.
Out of council.
So you want to sort of like, you feel like you have enough knowledge on what the young people need, and then you could actually help them to meet those needs.
Yes.
Okay.
For example, Hawaii is close to 1 million population. Of 1 million population, 3/4 made of young people. Then if we 3/4 of the menstrual population are not in policy making, are not represented in city chambers, who then is making decisions for us?
It's the 60-year-olds though.
60-year-olds. along the city, there is a group of young people that I like referring to, they're called the five street hustlers.
Yeah.
Those are their boys.
Yeah.
Making it big. But imagine if they were given an opportunity to have buildings, opportunity to rent buildings and offer the bread, that could have been better. It means the city's economy could go bigger.
But then, so why, where are we failing? Because recently on the show, we had a conversation with the mayor of Bulawayo, and he said that these spaces are available for young people, but young people are not forthcoming. Is that even true? Or I'm not trying to question the mayor, but I'm just saying, because he said that, and then I'm a young person. Many times I've tried to reach out to our local mayors, but it's incredibly hard.
You know, I would say it's true and it's also partly false.
On the sun side,
it's true. We young people, few people like us or our generation still have that persistence to push for things. Many of our age mates say, this is for so and so, this is for what, this is for that generation. So many cases we sit back and watch and only wait to be invited. Then it's the response that we get. If you were to knock in an office where it's where the CEO is 70-year-old, first things first, you'll undermine me because you're very young. You'll tell me, no, I have no time for you. But if you're not in an office where someone is 32, 33 of the same age group, it's easier to identify with because we're in the same age group. So this is where the problem is within the society. Those that are in public offices or even in stakeholder offices that has to do with service delivery are totally unaware of the issues affecting them.
Exactly.
So when
and also they're not involved. Most of them are in their offices, they're not involved on ground.
On ground issues.
Yeah.
But then where I come from, I'm shocked to know that our council doesn't even stay there.
Oh, where do they stay?
Rumors are saying, and then you put it on the stage and up and about.
Okay.
So then who then represents us? That's where the problem is. So young people have to be represented. Unfortunately, we also have differences within our age group.
A lot of differences. Yeah.
That we need to put aside and find a common consensus and say, let's move forward. We need to support any young person across any field. As long as the young person speaks sense, is representative, is responsible. Just stand with that young person. Because right now, it's about our age group. It's about our age group. Also coming into the fact that the government has put in place the national vision for 2030 that says Zimbabwe by 2030 should become a middle income country.
Oh, nice.
So Zimbabwe is going to be a middle income country. Where are the young people involved there? Because 2030 right now, it's 12 years from now.
Yeah, we'll be like in our 50s.
So like, if we're not already involved,
then we're reaching
retirement age, then we'll not be employed, most of the people. So there will be a social crisis on its own.
A big one.
So 12 years from now, somebody born today will be 12 years. So if somebody's going to be a middle income economy, what structures, what tools or things put in place to make sure that person has access to good quality public education, not education, education that is environmental friendly,
of course,
that is conducive, where there is a teacher student ratio of 1:20. Right now it's 1:45.
A lot, unless if it's a private school, but again, they are also expensive for everybody else.
Also looking at the GDP as well, when you strip it down to Bulawayo, it means by 2030, the lowest paid person in Bulawayo should be earning around $2,300 a month. But currently in Bulawayo, the lowest paid person, maybe in government or what, is almost 150. So it means we're talking about 200 times or almost 2,000 times the percentage. How do we triple that? How do you quadruple that? Quadruple that by bringing in the mainstream of the population into decision. Then you are aware of their needs.
Interesting. I mean, I'm in full support of young people like yourself that are doing incredible stuff. But I want to know about your journey, because you touched on how sometimes you knock on doors and there's people that are 50-year-olds, 70-year-olds. How has been your journey in terms of every time you knock on those doors? Because for you to be standing in for for a possible counselor for your ward, it means you had a long journey that you traveled. How has it been in terms of dealing with these old people? Because Zimbabwe is an old country with old people.
that's a very critical question. Let me answer it bluntly and frankly. When people read about us, they think that we're just successful overnight. They think we social entrepreneurs don't have challenges, don't have frustrations. We have, because you are hitting your head against the wall, against the system.
Most of the time.
So it's not an overnight journey. It's countless more than 10 to 15 years. Working, trying to put my foot on one end while the other person is pulling you downward. Because all the generation, when they look at us, it's either they say you are too forward, or you are too intimidating, or you have nothing to offer.
But they are scared of you.
They're scared of you. That's how a person said, you know, there are two types of people who will tell you never make an impact in the world. The first group is those that would have tried and failed. Then they say, no, you can't do it because we didn't do it.
Exactly.
The second group are those that fear you that you will succeed. So they will make sure.
But I feel like in Zimbabwe, a lot of it is people that fear. It's like people are so comfortable in some positions. And then when they look at someone who's actually pushing very well, they get scared of that, of what that person could do. But at the same time, if that person gets an opportunity, they are possibly going to change the spaces that we live in. But then why are we scared of those people?
It's because of the comfort zone. Stethoscope. People are comfortable in confined spaces. Social entrepreneurs don't believe in confined spaces. They believe in breaking, creating new things. So when we are breaking, creating new things, we are also disrupting levels, are also disrupting incomes of other people. Also disrupting.
They're taking other people's jobs.
They're disrupting other people's position or cushions of power. So like I said, you asked me that person. It wasn't overnight when I was appointed to sit in community-based planning. It was made up of all the people. I had to demand my own space. I remember I stormed into one meeting. I said, who's responsible for it? They said, no. I said, I'm here for young people.
We need more people like that in Zimbabwe.
You just walk in and say, you know what, I don't say any representation of young people. I'm here. I remember when I was voted for chairman post is usually for all people, retired people. I attended the school on an annual general meeting. I raised two critical points. Everyone clapped the hands. From then I was voted in. From then I've been chairperson. This is my, if I'm not mistaken, my third or fourth term, because it's annually renewed. But during that time, when I was voted in, I had a lot of issues to deal with, because we face a lot of challenges from the old generation. The way they're doing things, so ABCD, then you, here you are young. I was voted in when I was 20, it was 26 then.
All right.
So I'm turning 30. So
you're old, brother.
Yeah, I'm getting old. I'm quite here now.
They're only 30.
I'm only 30. I'm old. So it's very hard convincing. Actually, then the whole committee I was telling, they were close to 40 years, 50 years old. So to convince them, remember, it's an issue of mindset.
Yeah.
So I had to take them for at least a week through mindset shifting, change. For them to adapt.
That's a good one. I think Zimbabwe is a country entirely needs a mind shift workshop. We need a shift.
Tell them shift. We do that. And also from then, I had to walk in, deal with the parents, align to them the vision, break it down into molecules.
Yeah.
How each parent is a role. Because once you created this fiasco thing, like what Chamsa is doing, I'm sorry to mention him.
Is it because it's from we're gonna talk about your political party.
I don't have a problem with this vision of spaghetti rods, which is good. Which is very good.
All right.
Like any other country, we need to have those spaghetti roads, we need to have those airports and everything. But break it down until the last person and the least person who's a tomato seller understand their role into that.
Yes.
Because
it needs to be relevant.
It needs to be relevant. Yeah. Break it down, package it so well. That is why ZANU-PF, whenever it's doing campaign, it breaks it down in packages well. So that even the last person...
I feel like this is like a ZANU-PF campaign interview. But anyway.
But both parties somewhere along the line, they miss a certain point. Yes, I'm frank about that, even though I belong to the ruling party. Or something that they've mentioned
about. Let's talk about that ruling party. A lot of young people like that are trying to get into power, like your aspiring MPs, councillors, most of them are independent. You're talking about Fadzai.
Yes.
What's the last name?
Fadzai.
Fadzai Mahere, you're talking about the Vimbais. They all decided to go independent, and some of them have decided to go into the Movement for Democratic Change, MDC, where Nelson Chamisa is president, and other many presidents. But you decided to go into ZANU-PF, which is basically a party that is considered very old people. And as a young person, why make that decision to go into that space? Because many young people are running away from that political party.
First and foremost, I'm a third generation Zipra fundamentalist.
Okay.
Meaning I represent the southern region in terms of the unit accord.
Okay.
So our generation is that the succession, despite the fact that unit accord has failed, we still have
okay.
ZANU-PF is a mass party, it's a revolutionary party. If you study across the world, the revolutionary party, they will rule until Jesus comes.
So you foresee ZANU-PF ruling forever?
Based on this notion, if it transforms and deals with issues of succession, unfortunately, succession came in an abrupt way we didn't expect, which is good or bad. We'll discuss that another day.
the coup d'etat.
Yes, but some along the lines, it was long overdue. So one of the issues that we deal with when I'm looking at ZANU-PF is the issue of ideology. The ideology is people-centered.
All right. A lot of people would say no, that's not true. Everybody would say no, it's not people-centered, it's individual-centered.
No. I would like to bet on that. It's people-centered in the fact that read the manifesto, read the ideology, it's always about the people. The problem is implementation. That's where
Is that manifesto available for anyone else to actually go into it?
It's there online, you can download it.
No, okay.
The fact that ZANU-PF, remember, it's a mass movement. Revolution is always based on the people.
Mm-hmm.
The policies of indigenization, land reform, all of them are people centered. The challenge that we have is implementation, where we've selected individuals who then want to benefit at the expense of
everyone. Okay. And then cause more problem.
Yes, cause more problem. Multiple farm ownership.
Mm.
Remember, land reform was enacted in Parliament 2000. So it became an act of parliament. So where everybody had a right to have pieces of land to address the historical imbalances. Unfortunately, other people staying at home. That is why 2018 years later, someone is looking for land. Yeah. Way past land.
So why did you feel the need to actually go into politics through ZANU-PF as a party?
The fact that when you are part of the ruling party, part of the ruling government, it is easier than to deal with issues of service delivery.
But then do you believe in the in what the party stands for?
I do believe in that.
Okay.
I only differ in terms of implementation. Some of the implementations, they don't like.
Okay.
Some of the implementations, they don't like. Ideology-wise, it's good. Where we stand, it's good. Implementation, we have a problem.
All right. And then talking about that, I mean, our current government right now is packed with very old people. Do you feel like Zimbabwe as a country and Zimbabweans as a people are ready for a young leader or young people to be involved in taking position in society?
One of the biggest challenges that we have is the country has always been polarized.
Mm-hmm.
We're afraid of anything new. In my last Facebook post, which is 2 days ago, I said a country that is afraid to dream
mm-hmm.
is a country that will always live in nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Our Thomas Jefferson once said, never judge a person by his age, but by his abilities.
Mm-hmm.
If ED will transform the economy of Zimbabwe, despite being 75, let's give him a chance.
But then are we ready for young people to take control?
If Chamisa, through his capabilities, is ready to do it, give him a chance as well. This is what democracy is all about.
But I get that. But then the question will still be, are we as a people, because there's a time when I had a discussion with this group of young people, and they said, I don't think Chamisa could be president. I don't think Fadzai can be MP. I don't think Nkosana can be councillor because of their age. They are too young. And these are young people saying that about other young people. So are we ourselves mentally ready for that?
Initially, we need to break the mindset shift where we think success is to be defined through age. Especially in our African culture, if you're successful at 24, 25, some along the line, there's something wrong about you.
Mm.
We believe that.
Mm.
No, it's not. We think that
maybe for a snake.
50, 60, no,
yeah.
It's wisdom. That person is mad.
Yeah.
No. 21st century is never about age, it's about capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we young people miss it.
Mm.
Because we think somewhere we will remain young forever.
Mm.
This is not Jay-Z song. This is the
it's not Jay-Z's song.
15 years from now, majority of our age group will be working closer to retirement.
Yes.
So if we don't take reins at this particular time, then take position at this particular time, who then is going to address the issues of housing?
Mm-hmm.
Majority of the young people still don't have houses. They still live with parents.
Yeah, that's
then you still say you believe somebody in their age 100 and something years will address it.
No one is going to do that.
I had a problem with Mika. Let me be blunt.
Although he was he was in his parties,
I said this point like I remember in some I said this. Mugabe is 90, that's what I interested in. I said to this group of young people, politicians from our own party,
mm-hmm.
I said, I have a problem. I cannot endorse the president because he's 93.
Mm-hmm.
93 being the fact that if we were to look for people who are 93 in this country, they won't even reach 10.
Mm-hmm.
So whose interest is he representing?
The 90s, maybe.
The 90s, he doesn't even have age mates.
Uh-huh.
So we need somebody younger who can live in 10, 15 years younger than him, who then has a real touch with issues.
Mm.
One. Two, when we meet as young people, we need to derail, not to look at ourselves from political point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at ourselves as people who are moving the country.
Yeah.
Yes. Because when you look at the folks, I admire the neighbors, I admire that stand, I admire their courage.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that we are in different political arenas,
mm-hmm.
I agree to disagree. This is one of the issues that I love most
mm-hmm.
when I'm in a political sphere like this.
But is your party that also just the same as you think?
They are a group of young people who think
like you,
who think like me.
Okay.
Who are the future of this country? Who are the future of this party?
Mm.
Who will make sure that Zimbabwe will be so competitive? Will compete at a scale similar to Kenya, where you have young people open minded.
Mm-hmm.
Our challenge is where we're coming from, we were a closed up society, a closed up party, closed up government,
mm-hmm.
where we didn't even want to listen to third voices or second voices.
Yes.
And we cannot leapfrog from that closed up setup to this new dispensation overnight, everything.
No.
That is why we're having so many people are having challenges in terms of acceptance
mm-hmm.
because people still live in a polarized society.
Mm-hmm.
And the Donald Trump euphoria, where somebody just broke into office in Africa, that doesn't work.
Yeah,
that doesn't work. The
But isn't also an advantage when you look at the US? They anybody can be president. That's basically how the US operates. Meaning, doesn't it also sort of like give some sort of like hope to the people that at least I have the capabilities of being whatever that I want in my life? Isn't that like a good strategy per se?
It's a good picture to look at to admire. But the fact is, we don't take time to look at the issue and say, how was the picture painted?
Okay. Okay. So
the US got its independence, if not mistaken, in 1776.
It's been over
200 years now.
Yeah.
So its democracy was never over. And I remember one of the preamble of the constitution says in the USA is all men are created equal.
Mm.
And it took them how many years to deal with this heaven? More than 100 years.
They're still dealing with it now.
So all I'm saying is, in as much as we look at the Western world as models, they have their own issues. Mm-hmm. We need to deal with our homegrown issues through homegrown solutions. Independence, yes, that's good. They need to stand up because sometimes the parties that we have, MTC is a reactionary to ZANU.
Mm-hmm.
So if ZANU does its policies well, MTC has nothing to do because it has a mantra saying, Kabi Maskonka, it's gone. So
I said that in the last, I was having a conversation with someone, I can't remember, but then I said that. With at the current moment, when you look at Zimbabwe, you feel like, okay, listen, we're going towards elections, but who are we voting for? There's maybe possibly one solid party right now. The mandate for MDC was to take out Robert Mugabe, and Robert Mugabe went out. So what's their mandate now? Where's their manifesto in terms of us voting for them? It's admirable to see young people like Nelson Chamisa and all these many people wanting to take power, but then where is the structure? Where is the manifesto of what are you going to do?
What you're going
to
do?
What is it that you're promising to deliver?
That's one of the challenges that those people have. Because before we deal with these magnified Alice in Wonderland, as Stefan Sucker said, we need to be pragmatic. People still need drugs.
Mm-hmm.
People still need service delivered in terms of food and bread and butter issues every day.
Uh-huh.
I can't come to you when you're hungry and say, no, I'm going to give you cake when you're looking for bread.
Mm-hmm.
So cake is a luxury, bread is a need.
Exactly.
So we need to deal with that. Then I also admire the Star Second by Independence. The anti-establishment movement is getting a huge momentum, which is good. Maybe in the next coming 4 or 5 years from now, it will have a stronghold foundation because we have had people who have stood up as independent. They've won, at some point, Professor. We have Jonathan Sangake as well. We have quite a number, Themba Mlisso as well.
Mm.
So on its own, maybe it serves as a reminder that you don't need a political group, a political home.
So you don't need to be associated with a political party?
Yes, as long as you have the numbers with you, as long as people understand you, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. That's what democracy is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot lie to them and say they're wrong.
All right, so we're going to take a short commercial break. And again, if you're on social media platforms and you think this is quite interesting, or if you have questions that you want to fire to this gentleman, Nkosana Mazilisa, who's in the studio with me, please do so on social media platforms. You can tag us on Twitter at GilmoreTWE or the station at CliffCentral.com, or also use the hashtag GTWEVibe. Please don't go anywhere. We'll be back soon. Right, this is the final stage, and I might just quickly round up with Nkosana George Mazilisa on his thoughts and why he's involved in a policy making politics as a young person. Let's talk about if you become the counselor for your ward, which is Lobengula, right?
Yes.
What is it that you feel you could solve in your ward and also in your city and in the country as a whole?
First point of call, I've got 3 projects. Mm-hmm. First project in mind is a community library.
Okay.
Which will have free Wi-Fi.
Oh, nice.
My ward was opened in 1979. Up to today, it doesn't even have a public library.
Are you serious?
Yes, it has 3 schools.
That is 3?
3 schools.
Okay.
Of the 3 schools now, they may have a library.
Wow.
Community doesn't have a library. So we put a library. I've often said that even projects, when they're coming to the ward, it's like we need a library here. Not in the conventional library, but similar to the one that we make it an IHUB and modern policy.
Okay, okay, nice.
Number 1. Number 2, we have a crisis where we're still using the old service, delivery system of the sewer. Sewer, all the pipes that are still there, they were left by the Rhodesian government. That is why we've got a high number of sewer outbursts. I said, for us to address that, when we've got sewer outbursts, let's channel all the dirty to one central biodigest system where we
so it becomes the CAC headquarters.
Then when we do that, we produce energy. When we produce energy,
yes.
It's the same that will light up community because we have a problem with street lights.
Yes.
So
that's a good one, actually, because I think we're not innovative enough to make use of these things. I mean, everyone goes to the toilet, so why are we not using that to create energy for ourselves?
So there's one project that I put in place that I've earmarked, and thirdly, I've said for the city at large, should I then be nominated as councillor? Maybe most likely will not. Maybe I might be the mayor.
I know you should. We need new people in those offices.
Likely, I like Martin Moyo. We are good friends, the current mayor. One thing that I like most,
he was on the show some time back.
One thing that I would love to continue the vision is to make Lawari an ideal IHUB city. Remember, much of our buildings that we still have, they still resonate with the 1966 buildings.
Yeah.
So someone who died in 1966, if they wake up today,
they'll still find them. They can relate to those buildings.
So we need the new proper infrastructure. I attended to the Lawari Infrastructure Investment Promotion, where we brought in a number of investors, including Lebo was here.
Oh yes, Lebo from South Africa.
And a good number of ML capital from boards to talk about infrastructure. So these are people who are ready to pour in investment through private partner, through private public partnerships.
Yeah.
Where he was saying, let's have a match between the public and private and rebuild the city.
But what's your ultimate dream also for Zimbabwe? Because we can't run away from that. We are all staying in Zimbabwe. Also, so we can't represent our towns and cities. But what's your ultimate dream?
My ultimate dream is to see Zimbabwe again as a breadbasket of Africa. That's my ultimate dream.
What would you take in your own view? Like, what would you take?
What would take the paradigm shift?
So we still need to
shift
big time.
Yes, the reform that the president is undertaking, they're very good, is in the right direction. He needs the right team. The cabinet that he is still the same old cabinet. If I were him, if he's listening, I'll say,
should write to him.
Tell him, I'm a brother. Or my president get rid of the old
team. My brother.
So I would love to see Zimbabwe 2030. Is a breadbasket of Africa. Zimbabwe is a middle class economy. That would be good for us and people. That it means at the end of the day we will be able to achieve our dreams.
Yes.
Who knows? By then I'll be a billionaire.
Oh wow, so much. And young people, listen, young people try to shy away from being involved in politics, maybe someone is listening and they don't even understand this. Why should young people be involved in politics? What is politics? Because most of them just look at it and like, I can't be involved in this.
If you're not involved in politics, then you don't know the price of bread. Politics are the price of bread. 2 days ago, fuel increased in Zimbabwe.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. 1 month ago, price of bread increased. We used to buy bread then at 90 cents.
Now it's $1.
I used to buy a package of paper for my other company at $3. That was 2016. Now it's $4.80.
Wow.
So it's increasing, but I can't translate the whole cost to the consumer.
Okay? Yeah.
So all these issues can be addressed at a political level, with the political will to deal with corruption, to deal with high risk perception of the country. So young people need to be involved to articulate their issues. You can't sit at home and expect heaven to smile on you.
So on a base where people understand, like on a community base, on a family level, how can they be involved in that politics? Because when you talk politics, everyone thinks it's going to sit in the parliament. But how can that start from the level where people understand?
If you're in a community, always attend community meetings.
All right.
What is that team's
own? But what if they are not there? Because in my community, I've never seen any meeting. I don't even know who my councillor is.
Yeah, there's always Bora, mm-hmm. which is Bulawayo Native Residents Association. They must be there in the community. It's Progressive, Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be there. Also, look for the office of your councillor.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you pester him. Make sure that you bother him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you will be forced to call in community meetings.
Nice.
And
nice.
Also, for those that have kids in schools, don't shy away from parents' meetings.
We need to attend those. Yes.
Because that's our money, that's our school.
Mm.
All the infrastructure that the school is building for the community.
Mm.
So we must have an impact. We have an input in there.
So based on what you're saying, is that these people that are in power, they are accountable. They need to be accountable, and we need to question them. They need to have answers for us. They need to be able to deal with the issues that we have.
True that.
Wow, perfect. I think we have so much information coming from Kosana George Mazivisa. He's an incredible young person, and he's going to be a counselor for his ward. So when he becomes a counselor, I'm going to be going to him asking for money, because apparently if you're into politics, the only thing that you can do is to give us more money, and then we're going to come to you.
This is a myth that we justify when we get into power.
Because everybody gets into power because they want to be superior. But I have a question before I let you go. I feel like in Zimbabwe, we claim to have this education. Like, are we being educated with the right things, or are we educating ourselves with the right things, or we're just educating ourselves with things that actually do not matter?
Our education is now irrelevant in the 21st century. We have various indicators which we are not translating to jobs. So what we're taught was useless.
We're taught about history and things like that that don't even really matter in our...
New curriculum, yeah. Maybe that the new curriculum, we're part of the people who were consulted when we came to the new curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it and we said we need to be centered on entrepreneurship, on skills mm-hmm. development.
Yes.
Which means in 12 years from now, we'll have a group of young people
mm-hmm.
will be skilled and ready for the 21st century issues.
Yeah.
Unlike the old guy that needs to retire with better than materials.
And then we close the show. Where do we get hold of you when we want to be in touch with you?
Touch with me.
Not your phone number, please don't give it away.
Yes, it's my phone number. Yes, Facebook. I'm highly active on Facebook. Kosana George Mazivisa, my Facebook account. Twitter at Kosana G Mazivisa, that's my Twitter account. Then Instagram on my own like Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. So you can get a hold of him on social media. So he's Nkosana Mazivisa.
Nkosana George Mazivisa.
Nkosana George Mazivisa on Facebook. And then on Twitter is Nkosana G Mazivisa. He's worth following, and you would want to know more and interact with him. Thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate it.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, our listed is one of the top 10 young entrepreneurs to look for in Africa.
So oh, okay. But you also listed on Forbes 30 under 30 sometime back.
Last year, I was... 100 most influential youth in Africa.
Okay, you see, so we have the right people coming on the show. So one day when he's money, we have every right to go to him and say, we want money for the show. And I want land. Bring back the money and the land. Thank you so much. And again, interact with me on all social media platforms. Our Twitter handle is at Gilmore TWE, and the station is at cliffcentral.com. And you can follow Nkosana at Nkosana G Mazivisa and interact with him. So thank you so much for joining me. We'll be back with more information as we shut down the show. The name is Gilmore T, and you're still listening to the Gilmore T vibe here on Cliff Central. In other news, the World Health Organization has banned industrially produced chips and other fatty fried foods from the global food supply to eliminate the risk of non-communicable diseases that are killing millions of people around the world every year. So the food make up the bulk of an average working person's meals, especially lunch. And the World Health Organization has petitioned governments around the world to phase out the foods in the next 5 years to promote healthier living. So the question then is, what happens to these organizations and companies that have been sustaining themselves and making millions through selling unhealthy food, such as the KFCs, the Chicken Licken, Chicken Slice, Chicken Inn, McDonald's, Burger King? What's going to happen to them? But I'm just glad that the World Organization is trying to eliminate
Diseases such as hypertension, cancer, sugar diabetes, and obesity. So a huge shout out to you and bravo for making that happen. So hopefully in 5 years' time, everybody's going to be eating healthier. Another article that I found interesting online was from the Chronicle newspaper that said Chechen leaders get financial literacy training. So Zimbabwe requires an economic model that empowers communities to develop businesses and create jobs within their immediate environment. The National University of Science and Technology Vice Chancellor Professor Mqele Dlodlo has said, such an approach will enhance local capacity development and wealth creation in a sustainable manner, he also added. So speaking during the financial literacy training workshop for traditional leaders facilitated by Homelink Finance in Bulawayo, Professor Dlodlo said rural communities should be part of the economic transformation drive, hence traditional leaders need to be empowered to be forces of that economic change. So for me, the biggest thing is anything that empowers one individual to become better in their skills, in their education, in their finances, in whatever, I am up for it. And I really wish that we could take this up and take it to many places, especially remote areas in Zimbabwe, so that everybody else is empowered, not only people living in the city center, but everybody else. So yeah, this was basically what I had for you this week on the Gilmore T Vibe here on Cliff Central. So thank you so much for joining me. And remember, every Friday at 1 p.m., we will be giving you information on what's happening in Zimbabwe. So a huge shout out to people such as Nkosana, George Mazibisa for joining me and for making time when I was in Bulawayo and having a conversation with me. And thank you to Miss Norma for giving us an update on what's happening in Zimbabwe. And a huge shout out to Vegezela, who is also nominated for Song of the Year, Something Something Song at the Bulawayo Arts Awards, which are happening this coming weekend. And I am going to be anchoring the red carpet there. So I'm looking forward to seeing you all. I am looking forward to seeing you all and also to just being on your TV screens this coming Saturday. So remember, keep well and make sure that you keep safe. Stay put and don't do anything that's going to jeopardize your health and anything that's going to just put you in a risky space. God bless and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Goodbye.
Yes.
This is CliffCentral.com.